بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders and sisters, Alhamdulillah, we reached, mashallah, the 10th tafsir session, mashallah, which also marks the 10th day of Ramadan. One third of the month has gone. Could you imagine how quickly it went by? Allahu Akbar, huh? Subhanallah. May Allah Ta'ala allow us that in the remaining 20 days that He allows us to do even more, inshallah ta'ala. And may Allah Azza wa Jal accept from our 10 days, Ya Rabbal Alameen. MashaAllah, we are reading from the 14 juz, but there wasn't anything very notable because our series is on the du'as of the Quran. There's not really something very notable in terms of du'as in the 14 juz, so I want to actually go back to the 12 juz, or 13 juz rather, because there was something very beautiful there, which in Surah Ibrahim, we covered yesterday with the du'a of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But in Surah Yusuf, Yusuf alayhi salam has a beautiful dua, a very remarkable dua. Allah Azza wa Jal, when He gives these beautiful duas, He gives it on the most beautiful people, which is the Prophet alayhi salam. And Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam has a really amazing, amazing dua at the end of his story, which I think, mashallah, a lot of us, inshallah, can reflect on and use in our own life, inshallah ta'ala, because it will give us a lot of things to think about. Because you can imagine, you know, what kind of person was Yusuf alayhi salam? Like, what didn't he go through in his life, right? What didn't Yusuf alayhi salam go through? The hardships he had to go through, experiences, right? At the same time, subhanAllah, betrayal, deception, seduction, all these different things, right? That you hear in all these different movies and stuff. Yusuf alayhi salam went through all of them, Allahu Akbar, right? SubhanAllah. And along with that, all the happiness and the joy that he had, everything that he had. At one time, subhanAllah, he's the bottom of the well. Another time, he's the king of Egypt, you know? SubhanAllah, there's so much that he went through in his life. And at the end, ultimately, what happened was the same brothers that betrayed Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, the same brothers that betrayed him in the beginning, subhanAllah, became his lovers at the end, right? His beloveds, mashallah. Along with that, subhanAllah, his father in the beginning of the story was living in a very quaint little house, right, in the area of Canaan. At the end, subhanAllah, living now in the palace of Egypt, right? There's so much that if you were to think about where he started and where he ended up in, right? And at the end of his story, he places his mother and father onto the throne. And he places his brothers before him, and they all bow down and make sajda before Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, right? Very famously at the end. And then Yusuf alayhi salam at the end, he starts saying some amazing things. He starts saying, Rabbi qad ataytani. He goes and tells, he says, Ya abati hada ta'wilu ru'yaya min qabl. This is the interpretation of my dream from way back when. Qad ja'alaha Rabbi haqqa. Allah has made it true, right? Wa qad ahsana bi. He says, and Allah has done so good with me. Id akhrajani min as-sijn, when He took me out from the jail. Wa ja'a bikum min al-badu. He took you out from the desert area. Min ba'di nazaga shaytan ubayni ubayni ikhwati. You know, after shaytan kind of poked me and my brother a little bit, caused a little bit of problem between us, right? And subhanAllah, like you can see how no matter what happened in his life, he's expressing such joy and happiness of what's happening now. And he says something very important, inshallah, and I'll come back to it near the end. Inna rabbi latifu lima yasha. Allah is very subtle and very gentle the way He does things. Allah is very gentle and subtle the way He does things. Right? Innahu wal alimul hakim. Thereafter, Yusuf alayhi salam begins the dua. And the dua is a very remarkable dua. He says, Rabbi, qad ataytani min al mulk. He starts off by saying, Oh Allah, surely You've given me from the kingdom. This remarkable kingdom of Egypt. The things that he's experienced and received because of this kingdom. What did Yusuf alayhi salam receive from this kingdom? Number one, first and foremost, alhamdulillah, it was able to bring his parents back to him. Number one is, he was able to bring his parents back to him. Because of this kingdom that is before him, mashallah, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam was able to do khidmah of his parents. Because of this kingdom that he had, he was able to do khidmah of his parents. I mentioned this because why? SubhanAllah, as a Muslim, you must understand the value of mal, the value of wealth, the value of a kingdom, the value of good, these types of things. Normally, SubhanAllah, you would not praise, you would not thank Allah Ta'ala for dunya. But Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam is teaching us something that when you get the world and you use it in the right way, this is something you should make shukr for. You should thank Allah Ta'ala for. So Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam starts off his dua by saying, Ya Allah, I thank You for the kingdom of Egypt that You gave me. Because why? Because now he can do khidmah of his walidain. He can do khidmah of his parents. What is the biggest ni'mah in life that you're able to take care of your parents? So now, subhanAllah, they're old now, right? Yaqub alayhi salam and his wife are very much old now. Yusuf alayhi salam brings them to the palace. Now he can serve them well, subhanAllah. Where is Yaqub alayhi salam's qabr? You know, they mentioned very famously it's in the area of Egypt. Why? Like, subhanAllah, because of the fact that Yusuf alayhi salam took care of his parents till their death. That's what it is, right? MashaAllah, number one. Number two, subhanAllah, by the means of the kingdom, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers came back to him. And they were able to, mashaAllah, they come to him in a very subservient, a lowly status.
not like someone who's exalted or above Yusuf alayhi salam. Rather, they humble themselves before Yusuf alayhi salam. This is the barak of the kingdom. The third thing that Yusuf alayhi salam is thanking Allah ta'ala for is that the mulk, the kingdom which Allah ta'ala gave Yusuf alayhi salam, by means of this kingdom, he saved thousands upon thousands of people from famine and death. From famine and death. This is the most beautiful thing when you have mal. Ni'mal ma'alu salih li rajul salih kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, how good is good money, how good is pious righteous money in the hands of a pious and righteous man. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is telling us, when you have wealth, you can help lots of people. Yusuf alayhi wasallam has the whole kingdom of Egypt before him. What did he do for the rest of the time? The next 7 years he cultivates, as you know very much in the dream, right? He takes care of the produce and the zara. He takes care of all the different, the cultivation of the land, and he grows this much wheat and crop and produce. And next year, 7 years, he stores it. And then the years that come after that is the drought. And in that time, what happens? All the people from Egypt come. All the people of Canaan come. All the people of Sham come. All these various areas come to the who? To Yusuf alayhi salam for panah, for ighatha, for help. And what does Yusuf alayhi salam do? He provides to every single one of these people. On Qiyamah, what can he expect in ajr by Allah Ta'ala? That he's provided this many people, subhanAllah. This is what happens, mashallah, when you have mal in the hands of a good person. SubhanAllah, people, mashallah, looking at these people these days and they're thinking about, oh, look at this Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, whatever. SubhanAllah, they are less than the janaha ba'uda. They're not less than the wing of a mosquito because they don't do anything good with their mal. All they do is what? They cause corruption in the world, waliyadu billah. And subhanAllah, when they could say something and change the world and help people in Palestine, there's nothing that's being said from them. Rather, they're thinking, how can they profit from such things? Could you imagine such people in this world? SubhanAllah. Flip this and think about Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. What an amazing person he was. What did he make with his money that he had? Allah Ta'ala describes what he used to make. He made mihrab. This is a mihrab. Okay? This is a very tiny mihrab. In ICB Burlington, mashallah, very nice mihrab, but very tiny. You come to our countries, they have like three times the size of this, at least. Okay? You get to the bigger masajid, it's probably going to be a whole row, the mihrab size, subhanAllah. You get to the masajid that the Sahaba built and the mihrabs that they used to have, and the mihrab of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. These are extraordinary. Why did they make these? Because these are places where, subhanAllah, where Allah Ta'ala's izzah, Allah Ta'ala's majesty and glory is being worshipped. This is why they made such things, to show that this is Allah's qadr and quwwah and power in this world. But what else did he make? What tamathil, and these different structures and monuments for Allah Ta'ala. These different masajid for Allah Ta'ala. This is what Sulaiman uses money for. What did he make? Waljifadin kal jawab. He made these huge basins. You know, these digs. I mentioned this one time, I think, in a tafsir somewhere. These huge basins that he used to make. And what did he used to do with them? They were made as either for reservoirs of water, so people can drink from them regularly, or he used them to cook food. Qudur in Arabic literally is pots. He made these huge pots for what? To feed thousands upon thousands of people. This is Sulaiman alayhi salam. These Anbiya alayhi salam, when Allah gave them kingdom, all they thought about is how can they serve the world. To the point in a riwayah, it's mentioned about Yusuf alayhi salam, when they said, oh Yusuf, why have you abandoned all the good food in the world? You're not eating well anymore after you became king. He said, how can I eat well? Kayfa ashba'u wan nasu ji'a. How can I eat well while the people are hungry? These are the people that we used to leave behind. This is our turath. This is what it means when you're a Muslim. Don't look at the Bozos and the Musk of today. Look at the Sulaiman alayhi salam and the Dawood alayhi salam of the past. So Yusuf alayhi salam is praising Allah Ta'ala for the kingdom. Oh Allah, you gave me this kingdom, subhanAllah, this mulk. And then what? Wa allamtani min ta'wil al-hadith. You have taught me from the interpretation of speech. And I told you it can mean, very famously, it can mean interpretation of the dreams. Or it can mean the fact that every single conversation that Yusuf alayhi salam had in his life, he knew exactly what to say. Okay? Interpretation of speech means that you know what to say when people say it to you. And if you look through the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, I guarantee every time he spoke, it was just the right thing every single time. SubhanAllah. It's amazing. I don't have time to go through it. Today's not the time for this discussion. More to understand, Yusuf alayhi salam is thanking Allah for the dunya he gave him, rather the world that he gave him. And Allah Ta'ala, I thank you for the fact that you gave me the interpretation of speech. Why did he put the kingdom before the prophetic blessing though? You know? You usually would talk about Allah, you made me a prophet and then a king. But he flips it. Why? Because number one is that the interpretation of the dream, where is it found? The interpretation of the dreams is found in the kingdom. So Yusuf alayhi salam says, Ya Allah, more important than the interpretation of the fact that I could read the dream, that you showed me the dream, which is the kingdom, subhanAllah. Where did Yusuf alayhi salam find all of his dreams, all the different things that he met the people? Where did he find them? Because he had the kingdom in the first place. And the other thing is that what? External, you speak when you talk to Allah, you talk about your external blessings first. When you talk to Allah, talk about the apparent blessings. Say, Allah, you gave me house, you gave me family, you gave me wealth, you gave me kids, you gave me so many things, Ya Allah. And Ya Allah, you give me mind, you give me heart, and you give me iman, Ya Rabbal Alameen. You start speaking external to internal. This is Yusuf alayhi salam making dua. That's what he teaches us. And third thing is, which is very important, the mulk which Yusuf alayhi salam is talking about is not only the physical one. The mulk, the kingdom which Yusuf alayhi salam is talking about is not only the physical one. In reality, the kings of this world are the anbiya. The kings of this world are the prophets alayhi wasalam. The ones who actually rule the whole dunya are the prophets alayhi wasalam. Because who are they working on behalf of, brothers in Islam? Who they work on behalf of? Allahu Rabbul Alameen. He sent them as his deputy, as his khalifa in the world. Who could be a greater person than a nabi? He is the true king. If you understood this, they understood that Yusuf alayhi salam was not saying, Ya Allah, you gave me physical kingdom only. Ya Allah, you gave me spiritual kingdom. You gave me mulk and azima. You gave me a nabawi kingdom, a prophetic kingdom. That's why the anbiya leave behind inheritors, which are the ulama, the scholars. And the scholars, I tell you, subhanAllah, when you meet a real alim of deen, shandar hota, subhanAllah. They're amazing people, these ulama. They are people, subhanAllah, you already feel like your tongue is twisted before speaking to, a person of worldly stature. But when you come before a real alim of deen, you feel like you don't know what to say anymore. Many times, subhanAllah, we would sit in front of Hazrat Mufti Pampuri, rahmatullahi, and subhanAllah, I tell you, I see these ulama, 25, 30 years of experience giving fatwa, right? They are people who write and they sign off on fatwa. They sit before Mufti Pampuri, 70, 80 years old, and they look like little children. And subhanAllah, when an alim of deen comes before you, this is all the inheritance of the Prophet. The amount of ru'ab, the amount of awe and reverence that Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anyone who comes in a month's journey of me, any enemy that comes in a month's journey of me, they would fear me just by being near me for one month's journey, subhanallah. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some people, subhanallah, were so overwhelmed by the awe of Rasulullah alaihi wasallam, some people started to shake and quake because of how Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be. And one person, subhanallah, he I think his name was Rabi', he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And immediately he took Islam. He said that this man is too great for this world. Allahu Akbar, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they leave behind for the inheritors. Nabi Yusuf alayhi wa sallam, he says all these amazing things. He said, Allah, you gave me kingdom. And Ya Allah, you gave me this prophethood. Fatir as-samawati wal ard. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. Ya Allah, what is my kingdom compared to your kingdom? This is what he says. Fatir as-samawati wal ard. You are the creator of the heavens and earth. What is my kingdom compared to your kingdom? Ya Allah, what is my house compared to what you have? Ya Allah, what is my home compared to what you have? Ya Rabbal Alamin, what do I have really compared to what you have? This is what it is. Fatir as-samawati wal ard. Forget about it, Ya Allah. You gave me this and this, but what am I compared to you? Fatir as-samawati wal ard. Anta waliyyi fi dunya wal akhirah. This is the thing, subhanAllah. How Yusuf alayhi salam is thanking Allah Ta'ala, I can't tell you in enough words. Anta waliyyi fi dunya wal akhirah. You are my caretaker in this heaven, in this world and in the hereafter. You are my guardian. You are my helper, you are my provider, you are my wali, Ya Allah. Everything is in your hands, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Whatever you want, it's what it is, right? And this is what it means. I want everyone to reflect on this, okay? Where Yusuf alayhi salam is coming from? This idea of Allah Ta'ala being Latif. Latif is a very ajeeb thing. Latif is like, the blood in your veins. You know the blood is there, but you don't really feel it. You just know it's there. Similarly, like the pipes, right? The pipes are, water is going through them. They're doing so much, but you don't really notice it. It's very subtle. What's even more subtle than that? The oxygen that you breathe, the nafus that you have, you don't even notice it. It just goes in and out all the time. The fact that you start thinking about it, you actually start panicking, right? SubhanAllah, right? But it's just so subtle. I'll tell you, Allah is even more latif than that, right? Let's look at the story. Just understand, reflect, just really quick, inshallah. It's a nice story. Indulge me for like 1 minute, inshallah. In the beginning of the story, Yaqub alayhi salam, he has tremendous love for his son Yusuf. Unbelievable love for his son Yusuf. This unbelievable love, this mahabba shadida li waladihi, the love that he has for his son actually pushes his other sons to hate Yusuf alayhi salam. So then what do these sons do because of the love of their father? They take Yusuf and they throw him in a well. And they are planning at this well to leave it in this random location that no one's going to go by. Ghayabatil jub, right? In a random well, no one's going to go by. Yet subhanAllah, in the middle of nowhere, suddenly, at the right time and right place, these travelers come by and they take this boy Yusuf outside from the well. Allahu Akbar, right? When they take them out, the Yusuf is very happy, but what are they? They're slave traders. The slave traders go to Egypt. They go to Egypt. At that time, coincidentally, while Yusra isn't being brought into the slave market, the minister's walking by. Allahu Akbar. The minister walks by and says, "Oh, this boy is really good. I can use him for the house." They bring him home, subhanAllah. They care for him, they nurture him, they raise him. Then what happens is the wife of the minister, after raising the kid for so long, has some muhabba for him. What the heck? How did this happen? What is this Bollywood movie? SubhanAllah. After this, Allahu Akbar, she tries to do such terrible things to him. Allah Ta'ala saves him. Thereafter, what do we find? Yusuf alayhi salam is being pushed and pushed and pushed. He is finally thrown into jail because of the fact that he was in the house of the minister. After being thrown into jail, he meets these two prisoners at the same time he's entering the jail. These two young guys enter the jail with him. One of them has a dream, he's going to be crucified. The other one's going to become the wine horror for the king, subhanAllah. What are the coincidences? What is the chance that he's going to meet the right guy at the right time? Then he tells the man, "Please remember me once you leave." He forgot about him for like something 7+ years or something like that. The 7 years later, subhanAllah, the king has a dream. You know, Allahu Akbar. At that time, the guy who forgot way back remembers Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam is taken out from there, subhanAllah. After he's taken out, he was brought into the position of the prime minister of Egypt, mashallah. And one day, finally, the king himself steps down, makes Yusuf alayhi salam to the king of Egypt. At that time, subhanAllah, the same brothers that were way back in the story, Allahu Akbar, come back years and years, 14, 15, 20 years later, come back and see their brother Yusuf alayhi salam, the king of Egypt, subhanAllah. And now what, ultimately, you know the story at the end, and it continues and continues. And then finally, what do you find? Everyone's making sajda for him. This all started off with muhabba that Yaqub alayhi salam had for Yusuf alayhi salam. And how did it end? With Yusuf alayhi salam repaying that muhabba and bringing his father out of from Canaan into Egypt, right? The muhabba, the love that his father had in the beginning, that same muhabba Yusuf repays at the end of the story. This is latif. That something so small in the beginning is able to cause this kaleidoscope and this chain reaction of things that led you to where you are. And people are impressed from the story. But I tell you, wallahi, that every single one of you has the same story. Every single person in this community has the same story. You and I went through such ajeeb things. A job popped up, a wife popped up, children popped up, something where Allah Ta'ala just made an occurrence happen. Allah's latifness showed, and subhanAllah, life got organized. This is what Allah Ta'ala, this is Allah. Everyone, you think about your own life. This is what Yusuf is telling us. Fatir as-samawati wal-ard, anta waliyyi fi dunya wal-akhirah. You are my waliyya, Allah. How could I not trust you? This is what you have to understand. How could I not trust you? There's so many blessings that you and I could never even imagine. If you don't understand, look at anyone who doesn't have a ni'mah in this world. Look at the Philistine people and subhanAllah, tell yourself what ni'mah you have in this dunya and thank Allah Ta'ala. We're so ungrateful to Allah. Anta waliyyi fi dunya wal akhirah. And then he says, "Ya Allah, forget about kingdom. Forget about this and this. The heights of humility are found in the next part. Allah, tawaffani muslima. Allah, take me away in this world, not as a king and prophets, whatever. This is big stuff, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let me die as a Muslim. Tawaffani Muslima. You give me so much in this world, Ya Allah. I don't want to leave this world without kalima. Tawaffani Muslima. Ya Allah, and when you take me away from this world, wa alhiqni bis salihin. Don't connect me with the kings. The kings are going to have a difficult time in the hereafter. And I'm not telling you, subhanAllah, from the wealth that you have. Again, the wealth that you have does not make you a king. What you do with the wealth will decide where you are. What you do with the wealth will decide what you are. You can be, subhanAllah, with your hands doing business, but your heart can be the heart of the pious. SubhanAllah, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ataju Saduqul Amin. Remember this. The truthful, trustworthy businessman. Ma'an Nabiyyin was-Siddiqeen was-Shuhada. On the Day of Judgment, the trustworthy, truthful businessman will be with the martyrs, the prophets, and the righteous people. SubhanAllah. The martyrs, Allahu Akbar. Why? Because this man lived a very good life. No matter what dunya you have in the world, that does not define you. What you do with the money is what defines you. Yusuf Alaihi Wasallam is teaching us, Tawaffani Muslim al-Hiqlin al-Salihin. Ya Allah, I don't want to be connected with the kings and the Fir'aun and the Haman and all these people. Ya Allah, I want to raise with Suleiman and Dawood and Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I want to raise with the pious people, Ya Allah. I want to raise with Ishaq and Yaqub. I want to raise with these people, Ya Allah. Walhiqni bis-salihin. This is Nabi Yusuf Alaihi Wasallam after getting the whole entire dunya, the king of Egypt, whatever, whatever. He said, Ya Allah, when you take me away from this world, make sure I leave with the kalima, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make sure that I leave with the connect me with the pious people. And this is a beautiful reminder from Yusuf Alaihi Wasallam. It's a reminder for everyone. That look, if you want to survive in this world, like why is it, subhanAllah, we're having this tafsir class every single day? Because we need to connect with the pious. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam said, connect me with the pious people. Connect me with the salihin. You need to connect with the pious. This is not a mustahab or okay, if I get it or not. This is a wajib, a fard for your deen. Wakunu ma'a as-sadiqin. You must find pious people and connect with them. This is the only way you're going to survive. Yusuf alayhi salam said, Allah, take me away and let me connect in this world with the pious people. Ay Allah, take me away with the pious people. That's what we want, inshallah ta'ala. You need this ilm, you need this. Because think about it for yourself. How much deen do you actually get to talk about in the day? Be honest, right? SubhanAllah, we're probably talking about numbers and business and so on. This is probably the only time you heard a prophet's name all day. SubhanAllah, you need, this is nourishment for your soul. To hear about du'as, to hear about anbiya, to hear about good things, SubhanAllah, you need these types of things. I need these things, right? Everyone needs these things. He teaches us a profound way to protect a person's iman. So remember this du'a, Fatir as-samawati wal-ard, Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, Anta waliyyi fi dunya wal-akhirah, you are my wali in this life and hereafter. Tawaffani muslima, Allah, take me away as a Muslim, walhiqni bis-salihin. Okay? And my final thing to remember, to remind everyone, is that, again, SubhanAllah, I mentioned this, I stress this point, that the Muslims were never poor people. Like, SubhanAllah, yeah, Allahu Akbar, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, was he poor? Man, SubhanAllah, right? Uthman radiallahu anhu, right, SubhanAllah, Abdurrahman bin Auf, you know, the richest man in the world, right? Who was he? Mansa Musa, right? $400 billion. That's his net worth. He passed away a long time ago, Rahmatullah Ali, right? SubhanAllah. Sulaiman alayhi salam, Dawood alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam. SubhanAllah, they were not people of lowliness in the dunya, but they kept dunya in their hand and in their heart. SubhanAllah, how great is it, mashallah? I tell everyone, inshallah, we never tell anyone, look, Mawlana's not looking for your money. Really, trust me. Mawlana is looking for the fact that you get to connect with Allah. Do what you need to do in life so you can connect with Allah Ta'ala. So do what you can do with your wealth to connect with Allah. That's all we care about. And whatever sadaqah you give, I'm telling you, you can always give a little bit more. We are a little scared for ourselves. I tell you, trust Allah Ta'ala when you give and watch what Allah can do with that sadaqah. He'll make an amazing life for you, inshallah. May Allah grant us afiyah and tawfiq. Let us teach us these du'as. Someone asked me actually if I can compile these du'as. Tomorrow, inshallah, I have a whole set for you. We did the first 10 days, right? So then you can read them. You read all the du'as, you're like, wow, this is very short. It's going to take you 30 seconds to read the du'as, but you receive so much benefit from them, inshallah. So may Allah grant us all the tawfiq. I'll get you all for tomorrow, inshallah. May Allah accept it.